Good afternoon, everyone. Bonjour à tous et à tous. My name is Captain Rachel Brasso. I am the 8-Wing Public Affairs Officer. Je suis honorée d'agir en tant que modératrice pendant cette rencontre importante. Today, we are here for a groundbreaking announcement to highlight the beginning of construction here at 8-Wing Canadian Forces Base Trenton in support of the Strategic Tanker Transport Capability Project. We will take your questions after, but first we will hear from Member of Parliament, Chris Millette. Mr. Millette, please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Everyone, bonjour, tout le monde. I'd like to begin by acknowledging that the Canadian Forces Base Trenton is situated on the traditional territory of the Anishinaabeg, Huron-Wendat, Haudenosaunee, and the Mohawks of the Bay of Quinte First Nation. We honor and thank all generations of Indigenous peoples who have cared for and stewarded these lands since time immemorial. I'm glad to be here with you all today, having had a long working relationship at 8-Wing, both as a journalist and having flown with many of the squadrons and personnel here, as well as a 4-year stint as a commissionaire on retirement. I have a deep appreciation for our service members and the work they do defending Canada and our way of life. That includes the thousands of CAF members who call this base home. This base has served as a critical hub for the Royal Canadian Air Force since before the Second World War. Most members of the Canadian Armed Forces deploying on operations come through CFB Trenton. Royal Canadian Air Force members stationed here do critical work like transporting personnel, food, and aid to communities at home, as far north as Alert, and to those of our partners and allies abroad. But CFB Trenton is more than a military base. It's an integral part of this community. The base partners with local charities and food banks, is involved in community cleanups, youth initiatives like cadets, summer camps, many other activities. This base is a prime example of the Canadian Armed Forces' dedication to the communities it serves. And it will continue to be a source of pride into the future. We see this same dedication across the country and wherever members of the CAF deploy. As global tensions continue rising, it is critical that the members of our military have the right tools to support those efforts. This is why the Government of Canada is making generational investments in new equipment and infrastructure for our military, including right here at CFB Trenton. On that note, I'm pleased to introduce Minister David McGuinty, Minister of National Defence, who will share more details about how today's groundbreaking will benefit the RCAF and Canada's defence. Thank you. Merci.
Lieutenant General Kenny, Colonel Bowser, Chief Warrant Officer Hansen, Chief Warrant Officer Sergeant, members of the Royal Canadian Air Force and the Canadian Armed Forces, and of course my parliamentary colleague Chris Millette, MP for the Bay of Quinte, who has been doing an incredible job since his recent election representing not only his riding but this military base on Parliament Hill. Good afternoon, bonjour à tous. It's a pleasure to be at 8-Wing Trenton, especially alongside Lieutenant General Eric Kenny, who will be retiring on Thursday. Lieutenant General Kenny, you have guided the Royal Canadian Air Force through a volatile world, ensuring the RCAF has the modern capabilities it needs to respond to emerging threats. Your efforts have kept Canadians safe and have left the RCAF in a stronger standing. It has been a privilege to work with you and see your dedication to defending Canada. Thank you for your service, and a special thanks to your wife and to your family. For nearly a century, CFB Trenton has played a central role in Canada's defence and global operations, not to be underestimated. CAF members deploying abroad pass through Trenton. RCAF personnel stationed here deliver people, aid, and supplies from Canada's Arctic to operations around the world. The search and rescue technicians based here cover over 1 million square kilometers of unforgiving terrain. They operate in extreme conditions, often with little notice. Just this spring, members of Eight Wings supported wildfire evacuations under Operation Lentus. And internationally, they've helped deliver supplies bound for Ukraine. Having just returned from Latvia, their contributions, I can assure you, are invaluable. This is demanding, vital work, and it's done with professionalism and with pride. So to the uniformed members here today, each and every one of you, thank you. Your service is deeply appreciated. Canadians are aware of the service and the sacrifice that you make, and they know that these are never individual pursuits. They take the unwavering support from loved ones. Your spouses, partners, and loved ones all deserve to be recognized. They make sacrifices to support your service. And as I said, Canada is forever grateful. Today, we are officially breaking ground on an $850 million investment that will support new CC-330 Husky fleet aircraft. This is a major milestone for the Strategic Tanker Transport Capability Project. Le service et le sacrifice ne sont jamais des aspirations individuelles. Il nécessite le soutien indéfectible de vos proches, vos conjoints. Vos partenaires et proches méritent tous d'être reconnus. Ils font des sacrifices pour soutenir votre service. Le Canada leur en sera éternellement reconnaissant. Aujourd'hui, nous lançons officiellement les travaux de construction d'un investissement de 850 millions de dollars qui soutiendra la nouvelle flotte de CC-330 Husky. Il s'agit d'une étape importante pour le projet de capacité de transport stratégique par ravitaillement. Trenton will be the home of the main operating base east, and we'll see a Husky stationed here with a crew ready to be mobilized at a moment's notice to meet a fighter jet in the air and refuel. This is a new capability for our Air Force, and it's why RCAF leadership selected the Husky aircraft. It will support your missions, enabling our fighter jets to stay in the air longer, extending the range of the aircraft. This investment is also central to Canada's NORAD modernization plan. It will enable air-to-air refueling for NORAD missions, enhance rapid response, and strengthen Canada's sovereignty and our contribution to continental defense. It will also boost our ability to conduct strategic airlift, aeromedical evacuations, and government transport. For the main operating base east to be operational, we will need to build new infrastructure right here in Trenton. And that's why we're here today, to operationalize a promise, to deliver on something we said we would do. Today's groundbreaking is the start of the construction on a new hangar, on resurfaced runways and taxiways, on an extended ramp, on a fuel depot, and on a dedicated set of training facilities. And all facilities in this project will be net zero ready or net zero carbon. This isn't just an investment in new capabilities. It's an investment in Canadian jobs and workers. And as the Prime Minister and your government has been clear about since the beginning of our discussion about the future of Canada's defence, we are also all about industrial benefits. The project, which is expected to be complete in 2033, will create up to 1,000 jobs in the Trenton and Belleville area. Il ne s'agit pas seulement d'un investissement dans de nouvelles capacités, mais d'un investissement dans les emplois et les travailleurs canadiens. Le projet, dont l'achèvement est prévu pour 2033, créera jusqu'à 1000 emplois dans la région de Trenton et de Belleville. All this work is important because the Husky fleet is coming together fast. with the first two of nine aircraft already in service. With an investment of $3.6 billion into these nine Husky aircrafts, they will replace the CC-150 Polaris as Canada's next generation strategic tanker. The Husky fleet will operate alongside the CC-177 Globemaster III, the CC-130J Hercules, and the CC-144 Challenger to complement the RCAF's broader air mobility capability. And once modified to their multi-role tanker transport configuration, these aircraft will support Canada's future fighter fleet, enable longer deployments, strengthen our global humanitarian and our military reach. Today's groundbreaking falls on the heels of the largest single investment into Canadian defense and the Canadian Armed Forces in the last 70 years. Earlier this month, the Prime Minister and I announced over $9 billion in defense investment for this fiscal year, which will see Canada meeting its NATO 2% commitment by March. L'inauguration d'aujourd'hui fait suite au plus important investissement dans la défense canadienne et les forces armées canadiennes des 70 dernières années. Plus tôt ce mois-ci, le Premier ministre et moi avons annoncé un investissement de plus de 9 milliards de dollars dans la défense pour l'exercice en cours, ce qui permettra au Canada d'atteindre son engagement de 2% envers l'OTAN d'ici mars. And we will further our domain awareness in Canada's north with phase one of the over $6 billion Arctic Over the Horizon radar system. This is a key component of our NORAD modernization plan, and it will help defend our sovereignty in the Arctic. These announcements and today's groundbreaking show that we are moving forward with clear priorities and a firm commitment to defending Canada, the continent, and our allies. Ces annonces et la cérémonie d'inauguration d'aujourd'hui montrent que nous allons de l'avant avec des priorités claires et un engagement ferme à défendre le Canada, le continent et nos alliés. To everyone who's helped bring us to this point, Canadian Armed Forces members, civilian staff, Defence Construction Canada, local contractors, consultants, Airbus Defence and Space, the Municipality of Quinte West, and this entire community, thank you. Thank you for coming together, and thank you for pulling together. And to those of you who will carry this national project through in the years ahead, both here and at Main Operating Base West in Edmonton, thank you in advance. The Royal Canadian Air Force and Canada will be stronger because of what we're starting here today. It's now up to all of us to complete it. Merci beaucoup. Thank you very much.
Bonjour tout le monde. Hello everybody. We'll now take questions from the media. Ça sera une question et un suivi. There'll be one question, one follow-up. Chris, you want to go first?
Hi, Minister. Chris Rand, CBC Parliament Hill. My second question is also for Radio Canada, so if you wouldn't mind answering my second question in both official languages, that'd be great. Good to see you. There's a tender for night vision binoculars right now that has technical requirements so restrictive, more restrictive than any military, that essentially only American suppliers are qualified to bid. Is this something you're looking at, and is it in line with the government's goal of expanding security partnerships with Europe and other parts of the world?
I'm unaware, Chris, of the details of that particular procurement. I'll look into it. But clearly, one of the purposes of our visit to Europe 2 weeks ago with the Prime Minister was to enter into a formalized agreement with the European Union in order to arrive at a defense agreement that will allow Canadian companies to participate fully in up to $1 trillion of defense procurement opportunities over the next 10 years in Europe. It is part of our diversification in terms of our defense relationships. Of course, we will continue to work with the United States. We'll manage that relationship well as we achieve an eventual agreement. But going forward, we're looking, of course, to work with other partners. So in the case of this particular procurement, I don't have the details, but I will look into it.
Thank you. And Finance Minister Champagne is being referenced in two different newspapers today, saying that he sent out a letter asking for substantial cuts to many departments, all departments, to bring down their spending to pay for military procurement and so on. Is your department, is DND, part of those cuts that Minister Champagne's asking about for?
I've just received that letter. I haven't had a chance to talk to my colleague, but I have been part of no discussions with respect to, for example, significant social services cuts at a federal level in order to achieve our defense priorities. We're moving forward. We have the numbers now to move forward and achieve our 2% target for NATO by March. Obviously, we were in Europe last week meeting with NATO. All 32 countries agreed to a 5% GDP contribution going forward. On that very note, it's also important to remember all countries also agreed that 2029 would be an important year, at which point we would reassess those contributions. Also to remember, those contributions are to be made over a 10-year horizon by 2035. So the question of redistribution of expenditures is one I would much rather leave with the Minister of Finance. But my job now is to do what happened here today, which is to be able to meet with our folks on the front lines of the Canadian Armed Forces, to tour facilities, to see the housing, to see the mess halls, to hear about some of the challenges that they're facing, because it's time now. It's time for us to invest on the front lines of our Canadian Armed Forces, in the women and men, the brave women and men who serve in our forces, who deserve, for example, to have all of the expenses, all of the expenditures in defense looked at from top to bottom, including salaries and benefits. That's exactly what we're doing, and so that's one of the reasons why we're here making this important $850 million announcement.
Et aussi le même en français, la lettre de le ministre de Finances, Champagne.
Écoute, je suis au courant du fait que le ministre Champagne m'a envoyé une lettre, comme les autres membres du cabinet. C'est à voir. Aujourd'hui, je suis ici pour prendre plus connaissance de la situation sur le terrain, ici à Trenton, la situation avec nos femmes, nos hommes des Forces armées canadiennes, la question de logement, de nourriture, de vêtements, d'équipement, de munitions, d'avancement, évidemment, de la question de salaire et de bénéfices. Et nous examinons tout, du haut en bas pour revoir notre approche sur Forces armées canadiennes. Et c'est la raison dont nous sommes ici aujourd'hui pour annoncer un investissement de 850 millions de dollars pour, évidemment, améliorer les choses avec nos avions, avec notre service aérien.
Good afternoon, Haley McDonald and Quinty.ca. I was just curious if you had any more specifications on when the hangar will be built and when we'll actually see the first air tanker operating.
My understanding is the project will be completed by 2033 in several short years. It's a very large project. I was able to visit the site here this morning. The contractors, PCL, are well in hand. Defence Construction Canada has done an incredible job at running that procurement process and are now overall helping to manage it as well. The commanders of this base are very much engaged. Very hopeful we can see this come to a successful fruition sooner than that, but I'll leave it in the hands of the operational experts. It's just important for Canadians to understand these are the kinds of investments now that we must make practically. We must do it for our security, we must do it for our sovereignty, and we must do it, frankly, for the women and men who serve in the Canadian Armed Forces, who are deserving of better equipment, better housing, better pay packages, better benefits, better equipment, better munitions. And that's one of the reasons why I'm absolutely pleased and privileged to be here today, to be able to share with Canadians the good news that the investments that they are making, that their government is making for them, will hopefully make a contribution to better our overall situation in our defense posture and with the women and men who serve in the Canadian Armed Forces.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Fawaz Mohammed Yusuf with Global News in Kingston. So I just wanted to, the investment, $850 million on a hangar and billions on the aircraft, these aren't the kinds of investments that are made on a whim. So if we could just talk a little bit about what led the government to invest, to make this massive investment, the biggest in 70 years, as you said, yes.
A number of factors. First of all, the women and men of the Canadian Armed Forces, the professionals who understand what the situation is in Canada, their operational expertise has led us to conclude that it is time now for us to seriously reinvest in our Canadian Armed Forces, reinvest in the women and men of the Canadian Armed Forces, reinvest in recruitment and retention. Of course, the other big factor is that the threat landscape has changed. Having just come back from Europe, having just come back from Latvia, having been briefed extensively on the situation in different geopolitical regions, looking at the situation with the Russian-Ukrainian war, looking with the situation in the Indo-Pacific, looking at the situation in the Middle East, Canada's overall defense posture has got to be improved. We're 41.5 million persons strong in this country, and we need to ensure that our Canadian Armed Forces are up to speed. We have the talent, we have the dedication, we have the women and the men. Now we need the equipment. Now we need to make sure that these kinds of investments will be rolled out across the country to allow these incredibly dedicated people who act on behalf of Canadians to do their jobs, to do their jobs well.
Yeah, thank you. And then why was CFB Trenton chosen as the location for the base?
Well, today's announcement was chosen on the basis that this was ready to make. There will be many other announcements that will be forthcoming in the next several weeks, rolled out through the fall and beyond over the next couple of years, frankly. But this was a good and timely moment to share with Canadians the importance of investing in this particular base for the reasons I enunciated. The types of planes, the purpose of the planes, and the industrial benefits, the jobs this will create right here in this region, we hope to replicate around the country. It's about not only doing good for our Canadian forces and for the safety and security of Canadians, but it's also about doing well in terms of jobs and the economy. That's exactly why today we think was a good, opportune moment to showcase $850 million, which will also, of course, make it safer for Canada under the incredible, talented folks who lead the Royal Canadian Air Force.
Good afternoon, Minister. Tim Durkin with Quinney News and CJBQ. You've had an opportunity to talk with the top brass here at the base and with some of the contractors. Can you share with us some of the work that's currently ongoing as part of this eight-year, $850 million project?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say what's going to happen now is the project is going to take on a couple of specific elements. The first it will do is it'll resurface the runway. One of the reasons we don't have the particular plane I'm talking about immediately behind me is because the runway is not capable of handling it at this stage. We will give this base the runway it deserves and it needs. It will, of course, modernize the aprons and the taxiways. It will prepare for the construction of a state-of-the-art two-bay hangar to be able to service these aircraft. It will provide a 7,000-liter, I understand, fuel depot, larger and more centralized. It will also put up a number of training facilities for the folks who are flying and operating these aircraft. These are the kinds of overall activities that will help consolidate Trenton as an important hub, one of the two most important hubs in the country when it comes to the Air Force.
And the follow-up, can you give us a guesstimation or your best early estimates on when the first of the Huskies may be relocated to Trenton and may start arriving?
That's a question I'd rather leave to the head of the Air Force, the chief. They're better placed operationally to let you know. Maybe you can ask them more directly. I'm hoping as soon as possible. We're moving quickly. We're moving responsibly. We're making the investments that we are. Frankly, that these need to be made. It's time, and it's time for us to move expeditiously, responsibly, and that's exactly what we're doing. And I think today showcases what can happen when we come together as a people, as a country, contractors and municipalities, the Canadian Armed Forces, its leadership, front-end folks. All together now, we're moving very quickly on an important next step for Canada's security and sovereignty.
Thank you, Minister.
Thank you.
Merci tout le monde. That concludes our press conference.
Thanks, everyone. Merci beaucoup.